Probably should have got these before we started singing, but thank you, fellas. I appreciate your singing. It's good to see men sing, isn't it? I love seeing men sing. Lead by example. Lead by example. Wow. Probably hard for you to believe. It's the last night. It's been a long week, hasn't it? My dad and I were riding along in the car, and we get to laughing and joking. And so we were reading jokes back and forth, and my wife calls him and says, "Hey, I need some advice." Said, "Dad, I need to know if my husband or my dog loves me more." Dad just said, "There's one way to find out." And Sheely said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, when Glenn gets home, take your dog and Glenn out to the car, lock them in the trunk for about an hour, and when you unlock it, see who's happiest to see you." Hey, I hope you laugh, man. I hope you laugh. I love to laugh. Amen. Laughter is a medicine, the Bible says. It's a wonderful gift God's given us, and I appreciate your great spirit this week putting up with me. Thank you for all the meals this week. Thank you for all those that cooked for me, prepared those times, and the fellowship that we had during that time, for the gift basket, all that good stuff, the honey. Someone gave us some honey. I appreciate that. Riley made us some cookies that my dad seems to find in the middle of the night. My dad would be a terrible thief. If he broke into your house, he would eat something in the kitchen. I'm just telling you. There'd be crumbs somewhere in the house, and you'd know it was him. Oh, man, Mom, we were laughing about that. She'd get up in the morning. We're sweeping crumbs off the counter. And I don't know. But anyway, thank you, Riley. I appreciate that. Thank you, preacher, for the invitation. I really enjoy the fellowship. Thank you for giving me time with my parents. We really enjoyed our time together as well. Thank you, church, for attending, listening. This is a special place. I hope you know that. I get to preach a little bit out every now and then, and some of the places it's hard to preach to, and it's tough, but this has been a treat for me. It's been refreshing for this preacher, and I appreciate that, and the work that you're doing, the light, the salt that this place is, and I'm grateful for it being here. And I like to see a healthy body of believers. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and that's you. Nehemiah chapter 10. Let's go there tonight. We'll finish our conference up with this thought this evening. Nehemiah chapter 10. We'll read one verse as our text, and then we will jump back into several passages here through at the book of Nehemiah tonight as we close out. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord and his judgments and his statutes." Father, again, we ask you now as we finish up this week that you would meet again with us. What a great time I've had being here and preaching to these folks. Lord, this place means something to you. They're special to you. And this is your church. And these are your people. And I sure want to help them if I can. Thank you for their kindness to me this week. And Lord, the freedom, the liberty I felt to preach. Thank you for hungry people that want truth, that want to grow, want to learn. And I pray tonight, as I preach, I won't miss the message while I preach the message. Pray that you would take my thoughts. I need you to arrange them exactly like you want. This mouth needs to be under your control tonight. I ask that that be the case. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. What caused these people? Why did these people make this oath? Why did they get their wives and their sons and their daughters together and make a vow not to leave the Lord and to obey the Lord and to do what the Bible told, or the law at this time told them to do? Did they just wake up one morning and decide to do this? Nowadays, if you would to hear most people, they would probably say that there was an emotional movement after some special song and they were moved to do this. Or they had a midlife crisis and decided, you know what, I think I better serve God the rest of my life. But that's not the case here. And by the way, it won't be the case for you. And if you're going to walk with the Lord and you're going to spend time with the Lord, I want you to think on this thought. And we're going to go back into Nehemiah a couple chapters here and look at some scripture. But I want you to think about this. Revival is really only the result of something. It's the result of something. And if you're going to understand that, then you hear, in Nehemiah, when you see these people, they come together and they say, listen, we're going to get together and we're going to covenant with each other that we are going to walk in God's laws. We're going to observe and do the commandments of the Lord, His judgments, His statutes. And how did we get to this place? How did we end up here? Well, you know the book of Nehemiah, that they have went back to rebuild the walls. They've done this crazy feat in 52 days. That's unbelievable. And they've now finished these tasks, and in the middle of all that, they have dealt with the threats. In the middle of all that, they've dealt with the tests that were put against them. I'm sure there were times they were afraid. I'm sure there are times they could have quit. I'm sure there were times they thought about maybe even running away or getting out of it. But instead of that, at the end of it, what they had was a revival. How? Let's go back to just a few chapters. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's take a few. I'm a simple guy. I look for something in Scripture that can give me the things I can do that God wants me to do. And I think you can find a pattern here in this the Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded of Israel. Can I say one of the first things you're going to do if you have revival is you are going to have to want and you ask the man of God to bring the book of the law and to bring the book of Moses and to bring the Bible. You don't get things out of church sometimes when the preacher makes you go to the Bible, but I can promise you this, you'll always get something out of the service if you're asking for the Word of God. If you are wanting to get something when you come into church, you get something. If you don't care and it doesn't bother you, if you leave the same, then you're probably not going to get anything out of tonight's message. You're going to just go through the motions. You've checked the church box and that's the way it's going to be. But if you're hungry and you want to grow and you want to learn something, I have found in my time of pastoring and having young men in our church that we're training to be preachers and having those young men preach, I have a little piece of paper in my Bible every time they preach, and I'm asking the Lord to show me something in His Word tonight. It doesn't matter who's preaching, but it's His Word, and I want to get something from the Word of God. And if you're asking for the Word of God, you're on the path toward a revival. When you want what the Bible has to say. These people went and they asked for the law, book of the law of Moses. Which the Lord had commanded Israel. They wanted the do's and don'ts from God. Can I tell you that one of the reasons we don't have a whole lot of revival is because people don't want the do's and don'ts anymore. We don't want to know what God tells us we should do, and we don't want to know what God tells us we shouldn't do. And what we want to do is we want to come to church and we want the preacher to end by saying, hey, everybody is okay just the way you are. And then we all leave and nothing changes and nothing happens and God's not moving. But they came and they said, we don't just want the book. We want the book that has all the commandments in it and the things that we're supposed to do. And we've preached this throughout the week, but you need to be careful that you don't come in and say, I just want to hear what I want to hear, instead of saying, I want to hear what God wants me to hear. I want to hear what makes me feel good. No, I want to hear what makes God feel good. Preacher, I don't want you just to give it to me soft. I want you to give it to me straight. And boy, we're in a time when people don't like the truth of the Word of God preached just like the Word of God. But I'm telling you, if you want to have revival, and you can have revival if you want the Bible to be involved and if you want what God says for us to do. You listen, until you want to hear the Word of God, Until you want to hear from God through His Word, you're never going to have revival. This thing of trying, and preacher mentioned it the other day, of this sporadic stuff that seems to pop up, and oh, this is church, and I hear people say, boy, this thing happened and we had church. No, you have an emotional moment, you had something that happened, but the church is when you get together and you get the Word of God out, and we all go through the Word of God and we find out what God wants, not what we feel like we want. And so you have to have a hunger for the Word of God. In chapter 8, look what he says in verse 2, and Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Now watch, now the revival is available to everybody. Men, women, anybody that can have the understanding. Now, we're not a salvation message tonight, but if you're not saved, you're going to have trouble understanding what revival is. That you don't have an understanding of what's trying to be accomplished, because you haven't turned your life over to Christ. But when you turn to Christ and you're saved now, and you can come into church, and I don't care if you're male or female, I don't care if you're a teenager, I don't care what age you're in, if you can understand what's being preached tonight, you can have a revival if you want to. It was available to everyone. Look what he says in verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning till midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The people paid attention. You know what attentive means? It's more than just hearing. It is a listening with a desire to learn and obey. I am listening on purpose to hear what God says, and then I'm going to listen to it. I want to obey. I'm attentive to what God says. You know this in verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Just like you do here when we start with our text and you read, they had a respect for the Word of God. Verse 8, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The Word of God was read, and then it was preached and taught. The people in verse 9, the Bible says that here's Nehemiah, and here's Ezra, and here's the Levites. They taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The people's initial reaction was conviction. All this is good. All this is wonderful. All this is the process to getting to where there's a possibility for revival to break out. But I don't think it starts until you get to verse 13. And in verse 13, we read, and on the second day, were gathered together the chiefs of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, and Ezra the scribe, even to understand now the words of the law. Yeah, we question sometimes why we have revivals, why it goes on for more than a day of preaching. Well, okay, it's the second day, they come back, the third day, they come back. We're coming back to hear the understanding now of what we're supposed to. This is a little deeper. This is supposed to be a little more. It's supposed to be meaning we're wanting to have a little stronger desire. They had heard the Word of God. They had felt the conviction, and now they return to understand the Word of God. They want to know. It's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to feel conviction. Revival is only comes when you decide to do something about what you've heard. If we leave this week and all you have is more knowledge, then this week has not been a successful week. If we leave and you just now have some more, heard some more messages, if it hasn't moved us to the place that now we're willing not just to hear the Word of God, and we've listened, we've paid attention with the desire then to go home and do something about it. I remember many, many times in the car with my children, after we would leave church, we would ask them, hey, what did you hear in Sunday school? What did you learn in Sunday school? We would listen to as they tell us back. And then we would say, okay, so what does the Lord, what was the Lord trying to make sure you learned and you understood? How can we use that this week? How can we put it into practice? How can we take what you're hearing, understand it, and now do something with it? My wife and I would discuss the messages that we would heard, and we'd say, hey, what did you hear? What did I hear? What did I learn? What did you learn? And we would discuss, how do we take these things now? And now we have an understanding. Now we want to put it into practice, and we want to put it in a way that God can use it to make us more like Him. Real revival is a result of a couple things. Let me give them to you really quick. Chapter 9, verse 33. Now again, we should read all of this, just to be honest. We should take the time to give you the context, but you should read these chapters. But he says this in verse 33. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Let me tell you this, you can't ever have revival until you first recognize who you are. Who you are. Man, I've never went to church and thought I didn't need something. We ever walk in and we think we've got it all done, we've figured it out, we've checked every box, God doesn't have anything else to teach us, I don't have anything else to learn. You better understand, our heart, the Bible says that our heart is not just wicked, our heart is desperately wicked. The Bible reminds us that your heart's so wicked you don't even know the depth of your wickedness. Because that's what we are in our flesh. Better just understand, I need the Lord's help. I need this stuff that happens at revival. I need the preaching. I need the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God. I need the conviction. I need the desire to change things that are not right in my life. You have to understand who you are. You also have to realize that it's our fault that we are the way we are. You know, he says that thou art just in all that thou hast brought upon us. Listen, Lord, I am, the reason I'm a mess is because of me. You know? Hey, listen, can I help you with something? You better quit blaming anybody else for the shape you're in. You're in the shape you're in because you desire to be in the shape you're in. You're a mess because you want to be a mess. You're a mess because you don't deal with your issues. Whatever. You can say, well, I had this happen and I had that happen. And listen, I'm not belittling or downplaying anything that had happened in your past that has affected you. But I'm just saying, when you come to Christ and you now have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you and you have the entire Word of God before you, you can move forward with your life. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to maintain the course that you've been on. God has bigger and better things for you than that. You got to understand, though, okay, I'm the mess I am because of me, okay? And then you need to make sure you really see who God is. Now, I want you to just take a few journeys through a few verses here. Chapter 9, verse 17. Look at the latter part of this verse. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and forsook them not. Go down just to verse 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. Look at verse 20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Jump over just a few pages to verse 27. In the middle of the verse. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemy. Drop down to verse 30. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Look at verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Can I ask you a question? Why would you not want to spend time with a God like that? Hey, listen. This is who God is. This is God's desire. His desire is whatever mess you've made, He'll forgive you. He'll help you. He's not out to destroy. He doesn't forsake. He wants to be there with us and walk through us. If you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, can I just say this? If you do not have a good relationship with the Lord, it is your fault. He longs for it. He wants it. His desire is to be close to you and walk with you. His desire is that you will live and have a revival in your heart. He wants to have the result of you coming back to Him and getting to the point in chapter 10, verse 28, where you get to the place that you will say, listen, this is what I want to do. And I want to do what God wants me to do. Can I give you this? And you're not going to believe this, but I'm almost done. Chapter 10, verse 28. Here's all the people. They've separated themselves from the people of the land under the law of God. They get together. Everybody that has knowledge has understanding. And they say this, we're going to make an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God. Now watch, to observe and do. Success in the Bible is only described one way, Obedience. Obedience. If you don't have a desire to obey God, if you don't have a desire to do what's right, if you don't have a desire to do what God says, you're never going to be able to experience revival. That has to be your desire. He said, now, what am I supposed to observe to do? All the commandments of the Lord our Lord, His judgments, His statutes. What's the judgments? What God says is right and wrong. Commandments, what to do, that's right. What not to do, that's wrong. Statutes, what to live by. He says, you got to have a desire to do it. And can I remind you of this? We won't run back and chase the scripture. You know Joshua, he's there toward the last big time. He has everybody together and he reminds them, we're going to split up. We're going to go all our different ways. He said, now you got a choice to make. No longer am I going to be here to make sure you do right. No longer am I going to be here to make sure you stay on the straight and narrow. You're going to go off into all these different things that God has blessed you and given you lands. He's given you all these things. And he says, I want you to remember something. You got to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want you to remember this. Don't forget this. It doesn't matter if anybody else in this church has revival. You can have revival. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to pick. You're going to decide. You're going to lead. Fathers, you ought to have a decision that I'm going to lead my family in a direction that's going to remind us to live and do the things of God. I often think about back when I was a child and my dad would have devotions and at the house. And when we had devotions, he would get us together and we'd start by reading some scripture and reading maybe a little devotional or something. And then he would bring a practical application to it. And sometimes it would be a beer can that Connie had finished drinking and it was available. That was funnier than I thought it was going to be. But he would bring a beer can that he had picked up on the side of the road somewhere, and he'd bring it and he'd put it down. He would talk about alcohol and how it destroys people and give us some biblical scriptures and talk about what the Bible said about alcohol. And we as little kids would just stomp all over that can. We just stomp all over that can. God hates alcohol. We don't want anything to do with that. What was he saying? He's, listen, I want to give you some instruction. And now I want you to take what I've instructed you. I want you to obey it. I want you to do it. I am 51. Alcohol's never touched my lips. He'd bring home a pack of cigarettes and I didn't say anything. He'd bring them, we'd throw them down there. He'd talk about how that your body is the temple of God and that God had made you and set you apart. And when he saved you, he has a purpose for your life. And this is not what Christians do. And he would throw them on the floor. And man, we would stomp on those things and say, God doesn't like this and God's against that. And you know what he was saying? Listen, I want to get some principles in your life. I want you to hear some things that God says I don't want you to do. And then I want you, the kids, to go out and to obey them. Parents, I'm telling you, I challenge you to get your kids and you teach them a very practical thing about life and you can teach them a hatred for sin. Hey, listen, we have lost our hatred for sin. I don't hate anybody. I hate sin. I've watched what sin does to people's lives repeatedly, and it breaks my heart to watch people that have decided, I'm going to go and I'm going to play with this thing and I'm just going to have some fun with it. It's going to be enjoyable. And I've watched it continually destroy and destroy and destroy. And God says, listen, I want you to get away from some things, set yourself apart for something special, and I want you to be able to do what I'm telling you to do. You are going to have to make up your mind if you are simply going to do what God says or if you're going to disobey it. It is that simple. It is that simple. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let me read another passage and we'll wrap it up. Nehemiah chapter 8. These people had revival because they wanted to hear the word of God. They studied it to understand it. And then in chapter 8, so here they come back, verse 13, on the second day they gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, and the Levites, and Ezra, unto Ezra, the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Now watch what they did. And when they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. And so here, watch now. So as soon as they found out about it, here's what they did. So the people went forth and brought them and made booths, every one upon the roof. Now, listen, can I ask you something? People would say, this is silly. You're building a booth on the roof of your house. You have a house. But you know what these people said? Wait a minute. We just read this morning and we understood that God had said in the seventh month when we have this feast, we're supposed to go build booths and we're supposed to dwell in them. So you know what we're going to do? Let's head up here. Let's start chopping down some branches. Let's drag them back into the city. Let's make these booths. And the Bible says, so everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim and all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and set under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And then on top of it, there was very great gladness. Hey, I'm about tired of Christians complaining when they do what God tells them to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, but I'm going to make sure everybody knows I don't like it. Oh, just stop. These people said, listen, we just built these walls. We just built all this city back. And now we've got to go out and we've got to get all these branches. We've got to build these booths. We've got to dwell under them a certain number of days. And they weren't upset about it. They weren't angry about it. You know what they said? Hey, we just found out what God wanted us to do. Let's go do it. And there was a great gladness in doing what God told them to do. Most Christians are like spoiled teenagers. Soon as they get told something they don't like, they stomp their feet, they put on their pouty face. Most Christians are like husbands when their wife says to ask them to take out the trash. I speak from experience. I hate it when my wife says the trash is full. There's only two of us in the house. The kids are all gone. I always think, are your arm broke? You forget where the trash can is outside? I've been gone all day. Who put the trash in there? Is that not right? Does that not make perfect sense? You bunch of cowards sitting next to your wife like, oh, I ain't gonna answer. Not me. But I think about that. How silly. That little things that irritate you. Don't you ever get yourself like, man, why am I that way? I'm the only one that ever does that, I guess. But these people, they said, listen, I'll tell you what, we found out what God wanted us to do. God said that we're supposed to build these booths. We're going to go get the stuff. We're going to build these booths. We're going to dwell in them, and we're going to do it with great gladness. We found out. Look what we're doing. We found out what God wanted us to do, and we're doing it. We're doing it. You know what's wonderful? When you see someone that's first saved, and they get on fire for God, and man, they hear something from the message, and they come back and they go, preacher, I've never heard that before. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then us old mature Christians, we hear the same message, and we need to do the same thing. But we got all kinds of reasons not to do it. We got all reasons not to do it. I wonder if we would say in that time, say, boy, I want to hear the Word of God. I want somebody to preach the Word of God to me. I'm hungry for it. I want to hear. I'm attentive. I'm listening on purpose so that I can hear something from God. And then I'm going to go put it to practice in my life. I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to enjoy doing it. It's about time the world sees some Christians that enjoy being Christians. Huh? People that look at our faces most of the time, they'd never want anything to do with us. You know, enjoy it. Well, enjoy it. We won't read all of this, but if you went to chapter 10 and read the last part of chapter 10, they started giving 10% of everything to God. Oh, preacher, we almost made the whole week. There was no argument. There was no struggle. They were joyful about it. They were bringing 10% of everything, and they were happy to do it, and they wanted to do it. And their attitude was, God just showed us what we're to do, and we're going to do it. And they got excited about it, and the Bible tells us, and go to chapter 10. I'll read you the last verse, and we're done. In verse 39, and the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of corn and of new wine and of oil into the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. Hey, listen, you've been very faithful this week to attend, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, okay? I'm preaching to the Thursday night crowd. I know I'm preaching to the ones that are here and faithful, but your attendance ought to just be, preachers should never have to wonder where you're going to be. If you're not here, there's a reason. Something happened. Something was wrong. If you want revival, you can have it. But you have, this is a result of hearing. It's a result of studying out what God is saying to understand it. It's the, then you start obeying it. And the end result of revival is this. Here's the result of revival. And I promise I'm going to shut my Bible and be done. You have no problem committing to God. If you walk out of here and you are still battling the Lord, you're going to miss revival. Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to understand what the preaching was, and I want to then take it and I want to obey it. I want to observe to do it, and I'm excited that I learned something. I'm excited that I got it. I'm excited that I can go do it, and now I'm going to change this in my life, and I don't have any trouble committing to you because I know what kind of God you are. If you spend time with God, you spend very much time with God. I often talk to the Lord in a way that maybe most people don't, but I spend time with him and I ask him questions. Lord, I don't know why you want to spend time with me today. I don't understand why you love me. I'm glad you do. I don't know why when I come again and need help, you're willing to help, but I'm glad you are. And I don't want to mess it up today. I don't want to cause a problem for you, and I don't want to cause an issue for the name of Christ. But I'm grateful that if I mess it up in the morning, I can come back and you're going to be there. And you'll forgive me. Man, I love talking to God. I love spending time with God. And so when God asks me to do something, it should be immediate. Yes. Oh, you want something from me? Yes. All you've done for me? Yes. So I don't know if you had revival this week. I don't know if you're leaving with revival this week. But you can have it if you want it. Do you want to hear the Word of God? Do you want to understand it? Are you listening to get something out of the Word? And then are you willing to do what God's telling you to do? If you are, you can have revival. And by the way, revival doesn't have to be just this week. It doesn't have to end for you tonight. It can go on and on and on. You know what most revivals are? They're like the kids that we bring back from church camp. They get fired up and they get excited and everything's wonderful for 2 weeks. And then the world seeps back in, the pressure seeps back in, and that the kids around them seep back in. And before long, they're back just like they were. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be church. We should be bigger than that. We should be better than that. We should want more than that. And I challenge you, if you want revival, you can have it. Doesn't matter if anybody else in the church does, you can.